Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Hi, Les. So webinar, I think we're looking at about an hour and a half, and I'll let you kind of run it. Shall I introduce the topic that we chose via the online survey?
Sure.
Okay, so I'll read it to you. It's personal interactions and how they contribute to societal changes currently and in preparing for future coastal flooding.
Very well. And in that, you can begin your questions.
So should we ask a question then? Is that new?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, hi, Elias. Here's a question. How to recognize when we create an interaction with another gender that turns out to be a preferred interaction?
Clarify the question.
How do we recognize when we're creating a interaction with another gender that we ended up enjoying? We didn't. It was like trying to understand when we're surprised by creating that interaction, or bringing that person into your field of interaction.
But what are you attempting to recognize? That is the reason that I asked for a clarification.
It's how we are recognizing how we're creating in the moment by generating that interaction.
And what factor is confusing to you, or what factor is uncertain to you?
The best way to phrase it, it came as a surprise, unanticipated. So what I'm wondering is there a way for us to understand how we're configuring our energy that allows for that creation of that interaction?
But that is part of the point, is that you do surprise yourself. And that you are not creating a direction in which everything is already known to you. You are creating a direction, and in that, there is always that allowance for surprise. If it was already known to you, you would not be expanding, for the expansion is the element that does surprise you, and that is not already known to you in the direction that you are engaging. Therefore, if you are asking how to be aware of what the surprise is before you generate a surprise, I would express to you it is either a matter of generating directions that you are already entirely familiar with, or disengaging.
Okay, well, I don't want the latter. So I'm not it. So I guess in a situation like that, I want to understand the type of energy that I'm generating so I can repeat it to encourage other interactions like that in the future.
What I would suggest to you is to pay attention to what direction you were engaging and to be aware of what you are doing in that surrounding time framework and what you were paying attention to in the surrounding time framework, and that will allow you to move in similar directions and create perhaps similar surprises. Now, my question to you is, how is this relevant to the topic at hand?
Oh, I think it was focused on how, recognizing our energy in creating certain interactions.
Certain interactions in relation to the topic.
Okay.
Therefore, in relation to what is occurring and social interaction and how that is affecting in regard to the global changes that are occurring?
Is that a question?
Yes.
Well, I think it's a little of both, because on is actually the interaction I'm referring to was on an airplane when I was surprised by a person coming down sitting next to me, and the enjoyable interaction we had talking about the changes we're seeing in our environment globally. So I think that did probably bleed over to other individuals on the plane. I was just trying to understand how I created that scenario out of the blue, because it surprised me.
To allow you to be interactive with another individual about this subject?
Yes.
And what were you doing in the surrounding time framework?
Getting on an airplane and sitting down.
And what were you paying attention to?
It didn't seem like I was paying attention to anything important at the time.
It matters not whether you deem it that it was important or not. It is a matter of what you are paying attention to, and therefore understanding what type of energy you are projecting. You may have been entertaining ideas about this subject in surrounding time frameworks and not been necessarily paying attention to other individuals or necessarily connecting with other individuals, which may have allowed you to be more open. Whereas if you were concentrated upon connecting with another individual, or per se, if you were paying attention to female individuals around you and you were assessing the situation in relation to yourself and different female individuals, your energy would be very different. And in that, it may not have been inviting of that type of situation or scenario in which another individual would have presented themselves to be interactive with you in relation to that subject. And also, including the other individuals around you that may have been listening to different aspects of the conversation. Therefore, what I am expressing is that dependent upon what you are paying attention to, it changes the energy that you are projecting. If you are paying attention to your appearance or your body consciousness or what type of energy you are projecting in relation to attracting another individual, the energy that you are projecting is very different from energy that you would be projecting in a situation in which you were more concerned or entertaining ideas alone and entertaining different subjects and not necessarily paying attention to other individuals around you, but also being open to the other individuals around you, not necessarily isolating yourself from them. In this, there are very different expressions of energy that would either repel other individuals or push them away or block them out or invite them in or be inviting them in very specific manners or in general manners. In this, you could have been projecting an energy in which anyone that was seated near you could have engaged the same conversation. You pleasantly surprised yourself in who you were interacting with, but in that, it is a matter of being aware, being present, and being now, and being aware of what you are doing and what you are paying attention to in the surrounding time framework, and therefore allowing yourself to be aware of what type of energy you are projecting. Had you been in a situation just prior to boarding the plane in which you had been irritated by another individual, let us say in a restaurant, and then moved to that action of boarding the plane, it may have altered your energy considerably, for you may have been much less likely to be inviting or generating an inviting energy towards any other individual. And you may have been projecting an energy to block other individuals from connecting with you, but that is not what you were doing. Your question being, how do you recreate that situation? And in that, the how is based upon those two factors. What are you paying attention to in the surrounding time framework? And it is not necessary that what you are paying attention to that you deem to be important or not. It is what you are paying attention to and how you are paying attention to. Therefore, how you are expressing an energy in relation to what you are paying attention to, just as I expressed in the example with the individual or yourself prior to boarding the plane, engaging an irritating encounter with another individual in a restaurant. In that, you are paying attention to the conflict and you are paying attention to an irritated feeling. And therefore, you would be projecting an energy that would be much less inviting for other individuals to interact with you. It's more likely that you would be pushing them away. In this, you did not engage that type of interaction. And what you were paying attention to in your estimation may not have been important, but it was also not affecting of your energy in a manner to be pushing away other individuals, but not also overtly inviting them, in which you are using attraction to invite the other individual, which is also a very different energy. Are you understanding?
I am. Thank you, Elias.
You are very welcome. Next question.
Hi, Elias. I have a question.
Could you introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Jeff Basco from Huntley, Illinois. How's everybody doing? Hi, Elias. In the previous session, you talked about the coastal changes that are coming up and that things have gone to the point where there's no turning around. And I understand drilling for crude oil and gas and fracking. I understand those actions which are contributing. Is there anything else that we've done aside from air pollution that's creating these changes?
Yes. Now, interesting that you would include in that these other subjects of fragmenting and fracturing and crude oil or fossil fuels, for this is a significant factor also. This piece of fracturing is tremendously affecting, and in that it is changing other areas of your planet and of your land masses that are not necessarily near coastal areas but are affecting. They are not only affecting in relation to the release of gas, which does escape and is not all contained, but they are also affecting in relation to the landmass and its productivity, which you are altering considerably. I would not necessarily express that you are shrinking it, for there is considerable landmass that you are not currently using that you could be using. But you are reconfiguring, and those areas that have previously been deemed to be fertile ground and farmland are rapidly becoming barren and turning to desert area, which will not yield the food supply that you require to sustain your planet. But in relation to your question, there are what you think of as natural actions that have occurred.
All attendees are muted.
More frequently, such as fire, wildfires, forest fires. Now, in this, you think of this as a natural occurrence, but in actuality, it is partially a natural occurrence and is partially not. It is partially influenced by yourselves in how you choose to populate and what you do to do that. How you choose certain areas and how you change those areas, and therefore you generate actions or you accelerate actions such as wildfires to a tremendous degree. I would express that fire is a tremendous contributor to the alteration of your atmosphere. And this, it contributes altering the chemical makeup of your atmosphere considerably, and you have generated not only more wildfires or forest fires, but you also intentionally generate fire. And in that, you burn considerably, and this generates more and more and more alteration to your atmosphere, which also is definitely affecting of your planet. And in that,
all attendees are muted and may unmute themselves by pressing star 6.
The contribution of warming your poles. And in that, it contributes to your ice melt, and that contributes to your rising water levels. Therefore, it is all interconnected. Even in the center of your countries, the center of your continents that are not physically near coastlines, what you do in the center of your continents is affecting of whether those sea levels and water levels are rising or not, for it is changing your atmosphere. And it is not only emissions from vehicles, such as automobiles, trucks, trains, planes, boats. It is not only that. There is a tremendous amount of chemical emissions that you have contributed in your atmosphere through the escape of gases, which is much more than you are being led to believe. This action of fracturing in relation to what you term to be natural gas is tremendous, and I would express that you are releasing tremendous amounts of gases that are not contained, that are filtering into your atmosphere, into your environment, and it are affecting in far-reaching capacities, not merely in the immediate areas. I would express that also your choice to be not paying attention to what you do and what you engage and what you discard. You are so easily discarding of anything that does not hold your interest. For any length of time. And that can be anything from inanimate objects to living things to even people. And all that you discard that you do not view as important, you contribute to all of this building accumulation of elements that are altering of your planet and how it is configuring itself. All of that waste must be placed somewhere. What do you do with all of it? It must be somewhere, for it does not immediately disintegrate. And you have developed more and more and more manifestations that may not operate for long periods of time, but they exist for long periods of time. And what do you choose to do with them? You create landfills. And what is a landfill? Precisely that. It fills the land. And what does that do? It contaminates that area of the land. And what does that do? It creates a reaction from the planet, and it will seek to reconfigure itself to accommodate for what you are placing in it. You're not only extracting from it, you are also placing into it.
Elias, I have a follow-up question to that.
Very well.
Anytime I hear coastal changes, I think about the relationship of the Earth and the Moon, because the Moon's gravity has a significant impact on the Earth. How will this be affected, the coaction between the Moon's gravity? Is that going to escalate these changes?
That is dependent upon how the Earth reconfigures itself. For in its present trajectory, it is likely that what will begin to occur is the poles will likely begin to shift. And if that occurs, then yes, there will be an interface between the Moon and the Earth, for the Earth itself will shift in its movement. For in this, if you incorporate an object that is an oval, your planet is not entirely round. It is more in relation to an oval shape. And in that, if you were to incorporate a shape, an object that is an oval, and you designate the top and the bottom of the oval, if you shift that top and that bottom, the manner in which that oval spins will shift also. And in relation to the configuration and the relationship between the Earth and the Moon and how they affect each other, yes, if the Earth is shifting in relation to its poles, then its spin becomes different, and therefore its relationship with the Moon also changes. Now, when that changes, then there are other ripples that occur. For your Earth spins in a particular orbit and a particular manner, and its Moon spins and orbits in a particular manner also, which creates a type of symmetry in your solar system, so to speak. All of your planets and their moons are symmetrical, in a manner of speaking, and they fit perfectly with each other as they all rotate. Now, in this, one shifting alters the symmetry of all of them. And therefore, what you do and what is occurring with your planet is not limited to only your planet. Just as I have expressed many times in relation to you as individuals, that all that you do ripples outwardly and is much more far-reaching than you see or that you objectively recognize. Your energy projects, and it is very affecting. In this, everything in your reality, which includes your universe, which is vaster than you even know yet, everything in your reality is a reflection, in a manner of speaking, on a grander scale, of yourselves and what you do and what you are naturally. Therefore, in that, if you tremendously alter yourself, everything around you alters also. Your planets are no different. As I have expressed many times in relation to the subject of astrology, it is not that the planets rule you or that the stars or their houses or any of that rules you or dictates to you. You dictate to them and they mirror that. They reflect all of it to you in what you have already expressed and chosen. And in relation to your planet and the alterations that are occurring in relation to what you have created, it is the same. It is also rippling outward. And one solar system affects other solar systems, and it affects galaxies, and in that, on and on and on. It is all very affecting. Therefore, in this, yes, it will be affecting of the interplay and the relationship between the moon and your planet. And therefore, will that be affecting of your oceans, your seas, your tides? Yes, it will be. Now, that aspect is somewhat natural. Not that how it is coming about is entirely natural, but once the planet is reconfiguring itself, automatically all of these other factors will move into play in a natural manner, for there is a relationship and different types of gravitational pulls in that relationship between the Earth and the Moon. And in that, it does interplay with not only your oceans, but also your land masses. I would express to you that it does interplay with your volcanoes also. The moon is a significant contributor to the activity of volcanoes and how it is interplaying with the Earth.
Your line is now unmuted.
Hey, Elias, I have a question. Can you talk about the typical political and economic changes that we'll see during the R waves, religious waves? This is Panyas.
You are already beginning to see the affectingness in relation to economics and political expressions in relation to the religious wave. In this, it is emphasizing what? It is emphasizing everything you do, for it is emphasizing what you pay attention to and what is its most significant aspect that it is emphasizing, but the yes and the no. Therefore, in that, it is already significantly affecting of your political situations and status. In this, look to your own country. Look to many countries in actuality, not only your own, but I would express that people in general are becoming very disillusioned with authority. And in that, they are less motivated than at any time in your history to be participating and to be motivated in relation to political expressions. They are losing interest in the expressions of authority. And in that, I would express that this also very much is affecting economically. For in that, individuals are less concerned with what governments want and are more concerned with what they want themselves.
Do you see the authority globally being reduced from the current control they exercise today by more than half?
In the immediate time framework?
Before the end of the religious wave is over.
Before the end of the religious wave? No. I would not express that the expression of authority would be reduced by half in that time framework, but I would express that the awareness will be tremendously increased. That, I would express, yes, may be increased by half. That being globally, not merely in your community or in your country, but throughout the entirety of the world, I would express that the awareness is becoming much more at a tremendously accelerated rate at this point. And this wave is being very instrumental in that. It is creating considerable unrest, considerable unease, and in that it is also creating considerable questioning of what is occurring and what individuals' choices are. People in general throughout your history have not always questioned what their choices are. They allow themselves to, or they have allowed themselves to, choose figureheads and authorities, and they follow them. But at this point, this is changing tremendously, and in that, people are beginning to move in many countries throughout your world in directions in which they are questioning that. They are questioning what they want. what the individual wants, and why are they automatically accepting what authorities are expressing. Now, I will also express to you that, as with any change, there is also a factor that you will obviously see in which it seems to be moving in the reverse. That there is a tremendous surgence in the direction of individuals becoming more active in religions, individuals moving in directions in which they are more willing to pledge themselves to philosophies, not necessarily the philosophies that you generally hold in your country, but let me express to you that what is the most populated philosophy in relation to your world? Christianity is not it.
Islam?
Yes. I would express to you that there are more individuals that adhere to the philosophies of Islam than to any other faith or to any other philosophy in your world. And it is growing. And this is not necessarily that the religion itself is the draw, but I would express that this particular philosophy allows for two considerable extremes. One, in the extreme of expressing little or no tolerance for difference, but the other being genuine expression of appreciation of everything in your reality. Now, these are, in the philosophy, somewhat of extremes in how they are expressed, but with both of them, the common denominator is faith. And that is what is being promoted, and that is what is the draw for so many individuals, regardless of where they are located within your world. That draw of faith, of believing or trusting in what you do not know. And this is a factor of shifting. It may be somewhat distorted initially in what you are doing with it, but it is a very important factor in shifting. And this present wave is definitely incorporating a tremendous influence with that movement.
Okay, this is the moderator. I assume everybody can hear me. So just from a process point of view, I've done something because the AnyMeeting platform is very sensitive to sound. I have muted everybody. If you do have a question, indicate that you have a question in the chat box and I will unmute your mic and you can ask it directly of Elias. Does anybody have a question where I can unmute your mic? Do you have a question, Barb? I can unmute your mic so you can ask it to Elias. Okay. Barb, you're unmuted. Barb, are you there? Barb, do you want to type your question instead? Because we can't hear you. Maybe she's formulating it. Anybody else have a question? If not, I can move on to Jeff. Okay, I'm gonna let Barb, I'll let you formulate your question. You can type it into the box. I'm gonna move on to Jeff.
Okay, question is love the initiating action of value fulfillment for all of consciousness? Could you comment on that?
Is love initiating action for all of consciousness? No.
That wasn't the question. Is love the initiating action of value fulfillment for all of consciousness?
No.
What is?
Expansion.
Expansion of consciousness?
Yes. Love is important, but it is not necessarily the impetus. I would express that it is an important factor in relation to what is engaged and interconnectedness, but as an impetus, no. Or as an initiating factor, no.
Okay, thank you.
Expansion is always the first priority, I would express in those terms.
Hello, Elias. Oh, sorry.
I would offer one comment in relation to love and its importance. It is important in relation to interconnectedness, and therefore it is a considerably important factor to be expressed. Objectively, subjectively, it matters not. It is an important element to generate a genuine awareness of interconnectedness. It is not an initiating factor in expansion, but it is a very important expression, and especially in any physical realities in which separation is a tremendous factor. Physical reality requires separation for any physical manifestation requires separation. And in that, love is a very important component in relation to physical reality to aid you and as a part of your awareness of interconnectedness, not only with each other, but with everything.
Elias?
Yeah.
Okay, so I have a question I'm going to ask on behalf of Barb. And the question, I'm going to read it verbatim, is why is climate change occurring? Why is the climate change occurring? Why are we causing it? And you know, for maybe sake of context, why are we choosing climate change as opposed to other external means of shifting? So among the possible ways that changes could come about externally, could you talk a little bit more about climate change and that particular choice?
Very well. In relation to choice, you incorporate a tendency to think that if you choose a direction, why would you choose a direction that you think is uncomfortable? Why would you not always choose directions or expressions that are pleasant or that are enjoyable? Or that are comfortable. But in actuality, you choose many, 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 many expressions that are not comfortable, and especially in relation to change. As a species, you do not engage significant change easily. And your method of engaging change throughout the ages, throughout your history, has always been to generate significant trauma or force to initiate and to carry through with significant change. This is your modus operandi, if you will. You push yourselves in directions to upset the status quo. Why choose climate change? You are becoming considerably bored with wars. I would express that you are not as interested in war and conquering as you once were. And even in that, the wars that you generate at this point in your history are not necessarily to conquer. They are to dominate, but not necessarily to conquer and assimilate all of the individuals that you are conquering. Your attitude towards certain actions that would generate significant change in your world are very different than they were previously. You have evolved. You have become more interested in what you can invent and what you can create rather than what you can destroy. Now, in that, it may seem to be somewhat of a paradox that you think you are destroying your planet, but as I have expressed many times, you are not destroying your planet. You are creating an impetus for it to reconfigure itself, but you are not destroying it. In that, you also are being very inventive. You are accelerating tremendously in how you are evolving and moving forward in your creativity and in your thirst for knowledge and expansion. Keyword, expansion. And you are expanding. And in that, you are generating tremendous inventiveness. Not necessarily, as I expressed, at the expense of your planet. Once again, it is a matter of perception. And in this, you are not destroying your species, and you are also not destroying your planet. You are altering it, and it is reconfiguring. This is the reason that I expressed to you previously. This is not a message of doom and gloom. It is a message of change. And in that, offering information that change can be engaged with less trauma than without information. In this, I would express to you, this is what you do. You do not necessarily change if you are creating everything around you to be satisfying. If everything around you and everything in your life, in your world, is comfortable, are you likely to change? Not much. I would express that you are likely to change and initiate changes when you are not necessarily comfortable with what you have created, or when you are not satisfied with what you have created, when you are paying attention to you want more. And this, that also is a very natural expression. It is what you do as consciousness. You are always creating more. It is merely a matter of recognizing that now, rather than creating the expression of wanting more land or wanting more armies or wanting more people in your armies, or wanting more in relation to regimes, you want more of what you are naturally. You want to express in creative, inventive, new manners. You want to explore new worlds. You want to explore more of reality. And in that, that requires change. And change is not an action that you collectively do easily. In this, you provide yourself with motivation to change. And generally, that motivation is you are not satisfied with what is. You want more. In this is not necessarily bad. It is a matter of how you are perceiving it. All of what is occurring can be perceived in a genuine manner of being exciting and moving in an entirely new direction. And in that, generating much more satisfaction and creating more of what you do want. And it is not necessary that you automatically do it in an uncomfortable manner. If you are paying attention to what you are doing, if you are paying attention to your energy and what you are contributing to, you may not be expressing trauma or discomfort. The factor that your world is changing is not necessarily synonymous with bad, or that you will all be experiencing trauma. That is the reason that I am offering this information, to avoid that trauma. When you ignore what is being expressed, when you ignore what you are doing, then you set yourselves in directions in which you are likely to be experiencing trauma or disappointment or conflict and not being very satisfied. And that is the point. In this, why did you choose climate change? What I would express to you is, what other choice would you have considered that would be affecting of the entire world? In a manner of speaking, you almost required yourselves to choose some action that would involve the entire world, not merely certain groups of individuals, but everyone on your planet. What would you create that would involve your entire world? I would express, even a world war did not include every aspect of your world. Water does. There is no area in your world that can escape water, or that water is not important to. Therefore, that would be an efficient change that would be affecting of the entire world. And not only water, but also gases. If you change your atmosphere, it will change how you behave and what you do and what you create and what you invent. If you want to change the world, the most effective manner to do that is to affect what is around the world or inside of it. You do not change the world with money. You do not change the world with inventions. You do not even change the world with exploration, although those are tremendous desires that you have and are to be acknowledged. You change the world by affecting the world. And you did. And I would express to all of you, rather than doom and gloom, bravo, you have been successful.
Elias, this is Wendy Maisha. I'm glad that you put some optimism on this message. My attention is circling around the doom and gloom like a moth to a flame. I'm envisioning my home underwater. But and that's kind of scary. I mean, we all talk about how other people are scared because they don't have information. But I'm feeling scared. Not desperately scared, but so then I'm circling back to your remarks about Islam. And I'm sort of getting that you're saying that Islam is a more global framework that people are sort of clinging to begin to understand what's going on. Can you say a little more about that? Because that's another thing that's frightening, what fundamentalist religions are doing, and Islam is certainly portraying an extreme.
Very well. Let me express to you, first of all, that the extreme that you are viewing in relation to Islam and what you view to be bad or extreme in the capacity of violence, or what you now term to be terrorist, in relation to the ratio of actual individuals, the number of individuals that participate in this philosophy that move in that extreme are relatively small. I am understanding that they are loud, that they are noisy, and that they are active, but they are a small faction that is representative of one extreme. There are billions of other individuals that also engage this philosophy, not in that extreme, in different capacities. And yes, they occupy every continent, every country, throughout the entirety of your world. There is no continent in your world that does not include this philosophy and individuals that adhere to it. And I am speaking quite literally, including Antarctica. There is no continent in your world that does not include this philosophy. And this, it is the most adhered to philosophy of any philosophy in your world. Now, in that, I would also express to you that I would present the question, why are you afraid? Why are you afraid of a philosophy? Why are you afraid of individuals that adhere to that philosophy?
Hi, Elias. I was having a little technical problem there. I am just afraid of the extreme representations of violence. I like what you said about how Islam incorporates faith and that's the draw. I really like that. And it kind of opened up a new view for me, which I appreciate. I just was sort of saying in passing that the violent aspect, it's far away from me, but you know, when you see violence and kidnappings and stuff like that, really intense, that is unfamiliar, it's upsetting, along with thinking about sinking into the ocean or whatever. I mean, but that's what disturbing is, just the raw violence aspect. But I understand that's only one part of it.
I would agree. And I would also express to you, in relation to this fear, that there is tremendous violence that occurs in your own country when you term to be closer to home, not as far away. And in that, a tremendous capacity for violence. It is not expressed in the same capacity, for it is not expressed in relation to faith.
Yeah, okay.
And this, what I would...
I don't like it any better. I mean, I don't like it here either.
I am understanding.
Like they're trying to start a war, so that would be kind of...
And as I have expressed to you, you globally, other than your particular country presently, are losing interest in wars in general.
I appreciate that. I like
but
that.
I would express that, yes, there are these extreme factions, and they are playing their role in their expression of faith. And in that, what I would express is that the more opposition that they encounter, the more they are encouraged. And remember, as I expressed previously in this very conversation, everything that you do in your reality is a reflection of what you are and what you do individually. Therefore, in that, when you are irritated at another individual because they disagree with you, and you are expressing in the manner that you are right and they are wrong, you are doing the same as what is being expressed in relation to these factions. And this, when you are expressing in your own life those extremes, you are reflecting in outward capacities and what you see in your world. And this is the reason that it is so very much ultimately important that the individual is acknowledged and that you are paying attention to what you individually are doing and what type of energy you are projecting. And in this, when you are projecting an energy of fear, what do you create? You draw it to you as a magnet.
So if people are adhering to a religion and feeling faith, then they are projecting faith, which creates a different result.
For them.
That's what I meant, yeah.
Yes. Not necessarily for you, for your perception is correct. Your perception is very different, and you may be responding to fear. Now, this is also an excellent point, for fear is a feeling that is considerably strong. Now, what are feelings? They are signals. But when individuals are paying attention to the signals rather than the statements that the signals are about, they allow themselves to be dictated to by the feeling. Therefore, the feeling dictates your behavior. And when you do that, you are reacting and not choosing. You're not intentionally choosing your reality. You are not moving in directions of paying attention to yourself. And let me remind you once again, paying attention to a feeling and allowing it to dictate your behavior is not paying attention to you. Therefore, anyone that expresses, I am paying attention to myself, I'm paying attention to what I am feeling. Yes, you are. And you are only paying attention to what you are feeling and allowing that to dictate your behavior. And fear is a very strong expression and very common in this direction, in which individuals allow fear to dictate their behavior. Without question. In this, my dear friend, you expressed that you are afraid of an expression that you admittedly say is far away.
Well, I'm pretty scared of what's going on right here, too. I mean, what will be, but I guess that's far away in terms of time a little bit.
And this... What are you expressing? If you are afraid, it is a matter of acknowledging that feeling and then discovering and evaluating what does that mean to you? And therefore, what are your choices? Not merely to continue to be afraid and therefore be immobilized and allow that feeling to dictate your behavior, but rather to evaluate, first of all, what are the sources of this fear that individuals in another part of your world are generating what you deem to be atrocities? Is that occurring in your life? Is it occurring in your experience immediately? No, but is it occurring in your reality? Yes, for you have included it in your reality for a reason, not merely to be afraid. Why are you presenting that to you? Perhaps to illustrate how individuals can move easily in extreme directions, especially if they feel dissatisfied or if they feel they are not being seen or heard. If they feel invisible, they are more likely to move in directions of extreme.
I agree.
And what does that say to you? The importance of witnessing. How important it is that every individual is important, and that in your choices, in your experiences, that you move in the direction of participating in the action of being the witness, and therefore not participating in more separation that contributes to those individuals feeling not seen and not heard, and therefore generating extremes. Do not match extremes with extremes. And remember, it is not doom and gloom. Even in their extremes, as I expressed, they are playing their part in emphasizing that subject of faith, which is very important and very different from hope.
Okay. Everybody, so we started around 1:35 Eastern time. So we've got about 15 minutes left. So Christine, you're up next.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I'm interested in how we are doing with expanding our inner consciousness and how we are connecting better with our physical reality. I used to fall asleep practically when I was reading Seth talking about the minuteness of consciousness. But after I started talking to you, and also I became very interested in quantum theory, I began to feel some sort of understanding much better. And I see with the Hadron Collider in CERN, Switzerland, which I follow pretty closely, that they are breaking down to these particles, which to me are starting to get to the level of what Seth may have been talking about. And I'm wondering if this will help connect our inner consciousness among some people, scientists and others, with our physical reality and understanding that connection and bridge.
It is possible, it may, but I will reiterate what I have expressed previously in relation to your scientists, is that the most important factor that they are missing is the acknowledgement of the significance of perception. When they move in that direction of recognition that perception is, in a manner of speaking, everything that creates everything. They will begin to answer many of those questions that they have, that you have in relation to physical reality and beyond, that matching the inner consciousness to the outer expression of reality and physical manifestation, they can accelerate and spin and move particles and subparticles and microparticles and to tremendous degrees and explore matter and antimatter and vacuums and black holes, and until they move in the direction of recognizing the significance of perception, which is what is the glue that holds it all together in simple terms. That will be the step that moves them in the direction of creating that bridge between the inner and the outer.
Now, within society in general, are there areas in the world where people are making that connection in a more clarified way?
Yes.
And how are we doing?
Yes. And I would express that in varying degrees, you are accomplishing well, and you are moving effectively. And in that, I would express that there are some pockets of science that are also moving in those directions and beginning to generate that leap. They are fewer than the scientists that move in other directions that are more focused still in the physical expression and attempting to isolate that. The difficulty is that when I express they are still continuing to move in the direction of the physical, I am meaning that they perceive consciousness as a thing. Therefore, that moves in that direction also of the physical.
Cause and effect.
In generating the idea that consciousness is an entity, is a thing, that moves them away from the direction of perception and moves them in directions that continue to befuddle them and confuse them. But there are a few isolated pockets of groups of individuals that are moving in directions in relation to perception and their advances in scientific manners. Yes.
And what about regular people other than scientists? Is it more of an intuitive move on most people's part, or is it more that people are studying and trying to understand through connections such as yourself?
I would express both. I would say to you that it is a combination of both. Yes, there are many more avenues of information in this present time framework than you have offered to yourselves at any given time framework. You are accessing much more unofficial information. You are accessing many more channels than you have previously. I would express, therefore, yes, in part, it is a matter of offering yourselves more information. But I would also express that even individuals that do not seek out information, they are incorporating, assimilating through intuition, and therefore it is a matter of both actions. There are many individuals in many parts of your world that are not necessarily offering themselves objective information in this capacity, or even through the capacity of books or information through your computers, for there are many areas of your world that do not yet incorporate that avenue. But the intuitional factor is very active. And that is a tremendous aid in offering movement and expansion and differences in perception with individuals. Therefore, yes, I would express a combination of both.
Thank you, Elias.
You are very welcome.
Hello, Elias. We just have a few minutes left. I wonder if you had any concluding remarks. One aspect of the theme was personal interactions and how they contribute to societal changes currently. I don't know if you have anything more to say about that as kind of concluding remarks, since we're at close to the 90-minute mark.
As I expressed, it is a matter of paying attention to what you are doing and therefore what energy you are projecting, what you are contributing to. And the manner in which you do that is being aware of what you are paying attention to, what is influencing you in any time framework, even as we began this conversation with the airplane trip. In this, it is a matter of not negating surprise, welcoming surprise, but knowing and being aware of what you are paying attention to, and whether you are incorporating flexibility, whether you are expressing rigidity, whether you are being absolute in certain expressions, or whether you are not. Whether you are being present and being now, or are you being past or anticipating future? Not that you are being present to the exclusion of the past and the future. You never are. But what is primary in your attention? And in that, what are you doing? That is the most important factor. Be aware. Continue to offer yourselves information. Be view the big picture. Yes, your individual smaller picture is very important, but you are a part of the big picture also. Therefore, view the big picture. And how do you fit in that? Remember, your world is very similar to a jigsaw puzzle. Which piece are you in the jigsaw puzzle? And even if you remove one piece of that jigsaw puzzle, it will be incomplete. There will be a hole. Therefore, every piece is important.
Great. I guess this will conclude our 90-minute webinar.
Very well. I shall be anticipating our next meeting, and I express tremendous encouragement to all of you not to be afraid, not to be doom and gloom. Be excited, be motivated, and move in the direction of welcoming change. Until our next meeting, in tremendous lovingness and great appreciation to all of you. Au revoir.
Au revoir, Elias.
Thank you.